Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. We made it Friday, the 18th of October. And first today, we're going to hear from a former Kent sub-postmaster who was wrongly convicted of stealing during the Horizon IT scandal. Now, Sunil Patel from Romney Marsh spent 9 months in prison and was ordered to pay £48,000 due to the faulty accounting software. It had a huge impact on his life, but earlier this month, he received a letter from the Ministry of Justice to say the false accounting convictions had been quashed. Well, Kate has been speaking to Sunil about how it feels.
It's taken all the weight off our shoulders now. I think I'm so happy just to see that letter. It's like you were branded a criminal when you didn't do anything wrong. But now they admitted it, that they were wrong. I mean, it's like the compensation is just secondary. But just not having that conviction, it's like all the stress has suddenly disappeared now. It's, you're not afraid of meeting anybody or anybody. You go down to your local pub or something, you know, like people will always talk behind your back and say, oh, he's the one who stole the money, as soon as they see you. But now, that's all gone now. So hopefully we can, like, it's literally like starting a new life again.
And what was it like for you watching it all play out in public? It was a very public inquiry, and the success of the TV series as well really drew attention to the Horizon IT scandal for a lot of people. What was that like for you watching it play out in front of everybody?
In a way, like, it shows that, like, it wasn't just a one-off problem. There were like 700 sub-postmasters who got convicted. So it was quite widespread, and everybody had more or less the same problem with the system. So it's like you feel annoyed with the post office, like they knew something was wrong, but they didn't admit it. And especially like the head of the post office, I think Paula Venables, she knew all along what was going on. And now after all the sub-postmasters, we all suffered 15 years of stress, family. I think a lot, I read like about 50 to 60 people have already died as well. I think 4 people committed suicide. But there's nothing's been done to any of the post office heads. That's the annoying part. None of them have been prosecuted. And this could all have been prevented in the first place.
So for you now, are you is this the end of the journey for you, or are you going to keep fighting for for the post office heads to be prosecuted? Are you going to be pushing for more compensation, or is this enough for you now? Is this the end?
Nice. It's not quite the end. We still, I would like to see the post office, all the executives of the post office, they should face an inquiry. Although none of them have been punished, or none of them's been fined or anything like that. A lot of them, they're still in their jobs. All of them are getting the pensions. With us, as soon as the post office found out, they also took our pensions away. So they said we were paying into the post office pension. And they said, like, we won't be entitled to any pension because we committed a fraud. But the same people who committed a bigger fraud, for them, nothing's been taken away. And they all ate golden handshakes. So we'd like to see that them being prosecuted now. I think it would be, I would feel more like at ease I feel like justice is done when they get prosecuted.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories for you today. And a Canterbury man who attacked his girlfriend on Christmas Eve has been given a 5-year restraining order. Sam Richards left his victim thinking she'd dislocated a hip after dragging her as she tried to escape from him last December. The 43-year-old, who used to live in Tennyson Avenue, was given a 12-month sentence but was expected to be released soon after because of time already spent in custody. Investigators have released CCTV images of two people they're hunting following an attack in Maidstone that left the victim with a broken leg. Officers were called to Pudding Lane back in August when the victim had had his phone stolen. Police believe a man and woman in the area at the time can help with inquiries. A 14-year-old boy from Herne Bay has been arrested on suspicion of possessing cannabis, dangerous driving and handling stolen goods. Officers were responding to reports of nuisance moped riding in Whitstable. A second teenager was detained on suspicion of stealing the vehicle. They've both been released on bail. Now, next today, it's emerged police have been called to a Medway park more than 60 times in 4 months to reports of nuisance vehicles. But no bikes have been seized. Now, new rules have been put in place across the towns to try and tackle this problem. Kate joins me now on the podcast with more on this one. Kate, where have all those stats come from?
Well, the figures come from Kent Police through a Freedom of Information request, which was put in by the local Democracy Reporting Service. It was to check to see how effective the new Public Spaces Protection Order had been. It came into force at the beginning of April and covers the whole of Medway, targeting motorcycles, motorbikes and quad bikes being ridden antisocially, car meets and cruising, as well as motorists playing loud music. It also gives police the power to issue £100 fines for breaking rules and even to seize vehicles. Now, Barnfield Recreation Ground has been a hotspot for nuisance activity for years, and the figures show in the first 4 months of the PSPO, the police were called there 65 times. However, officers only attended the scene 10 times. No vehicles were seized and no fines were issued.
And what have police and the local council said?
Well, police say they are aware of residents' concerns around the antisocial behaviour and that they've been working with Medway Council to address them. Where they have received reports of misuse of vehicles, officers have attended, and on two occasions riders were given formal warnings and have been told to leave the area immediately, and that if they had returned, they could have received a traffic offence report and had their bikes seized. Police also say they're carrying out proactive enforcement, which involves using drones to spot offenders and working to identify those who regularly commit this type of antisocial behaviour. Council insist the PSPO is working and they will continue to carry out joint patrols with police.
Kate, thank you ever so much.
Kent Online reports.
This is one of our most read stories on the website today. A body has been found by police searching for a missing 20-year-old man from Gravesend. Now, the body's not been formally identified as yet, but the family of Slavik Dubovskis have been told. He was last seen in the Ingoldsby Road area on Tuesday. A baby's died after a boat carrying asylum seekers heading towards Kent ran into difficulties in the channel. French authorities say 65 people were rescued, with four ships and a helicopter involved in the operation. A man wanted for violent robbery has been arrested by police on patrol in Dover. The 27-year-old had been linked to an earlier assault in Marine Parade, where the victim had had his wallet stolen. The suspect was found in Pencester Gardens. There's a warning to Ford Fiesta drivers after five were stolen in Sittingbourne and Sheppey over 2 days this week. Police say they all had keyless entry systems and are thought to have been taken by the same person. Four have since been recovered. Now, a documentary sharing the mental health struggles of a Kent artist is going to be in cinemas this weekend. Crews spent time following Sam Cox, who's known as Mr. Doodle, as he decorated his mansion. But the film turned out to be a much deeper look at his life. Well, Mr. Doodle, aka Sam, has been chatting to Abby from our colleagues at KMTV.
I wanted to make a film about the process of drawing on my house. And during that process, like, lots of different things happened. And whilst filming, it kind of took a different turn. And the final result ended up being more about, like, my life than just the house. So, sort of set it out to be like a 10-minute film for social media. And it ended up being this big kind of full-length documentary about everything.
I suppose that's quite reflective of the journey you go on as well. You start doodling and then you do a huge house as well. So it reflects that journey too. But people look at the work, and you've said that you want it to provoke joy and you want people to see the doodles and have this happiness from it. But there's sort of a darker side that unravels when watching the trailer specifically there. And I imagine the whole documentary where we're really looking inside your mind and seeing what that might be like, and the pressure, I suppose.
Yeah. So in sort of 2020, the work just kind of, there was loads of things going on, and I kind of tried to embrace the Mr. Doodle character a bit too much and kind of let it take over everything. And the film shows that process. And I think, yeah, with lots of creative projects and things, you kind of get so invested in it that you'd lose sight of everything else. And that's kind of what happened to me. I just couldn't stop thinking about the house and drawing over this house, and I thought it was going to be, you know, like everything, and I was going to live in that, and I do live in it now, but it's just kind of, I just lost myself in it, really, and lost sense of reality in a way.
And I have to ask, people would look at the house and think that would be so overwhelming for them. Of course, it's stark white there, but doodling on every single inch and every single surface, is it overwhelming? How do you and your wife manage?
Yeah, we just really got used to it. I told her on the first day, you know, I met her, I was like, I want to draw on the house, and like kind of warned her about what I was kind of hoping to do and stuff, and she just kind of got on board with everything, and we're really used to it. I mean, once you're in there and you kind of live with it, it just feels nice, and it doesn't feel like how people might imagine it. They think it would give them a big migraine and make them dizzy, yeah. But you do get really used to it, yeah. And
in the documentary, you say you were born to draw, but you are a human being. So I suppose this is about your journey of trying to balance both those things?
Yeah, I think for me, like kind of creating this character of Mr. Doodle and kind of imagining I'm from Doodle Land and all these things, I've kind of built up this whole brand and persona, but just kind of spent so long doing that I didn't really spend enough time just being Sam, and through the journey I went on and making this film, it kind of helped me realise to not neglect that and kind of spend time, you know, just being a normal person.
And something that really fascinates me is you're talking about this personality, this persona of Mr. Doodle, and then also finding Sam within that as well. But if you were neither of those things, if you weren't Mr. Doodle, who would you be?
I don't know. You mean if I didn't doodle at all?
Yeah.
You mean? I guess, I don't know, I'd want to do something creative, something that feels like I'm putting some sort of expression into the world. Maybe I'd be doing music or making films, I'm not sure really, animation or something, but it's hard to imagine, I think. It's a huge part of my life, and I've lived with it for a long time now, so it's hard to think of anything else really.
The Trouble with Mr. Doodle will be at the Ashford Cinema on Saturday and Sunday.
Kent Online reports.
Drivers are calling for action to fix an A road in Ashford that's notorious for flooding. Two vehicles collided on the A2070 on Wednesday night as the area was hit by thunderstorms and heavy rain. Locals say they've previously raised concerns with bosses. The council have been contacted for a comment. The Kingsferry Bridge is going to be closed for repairs over the school half term. The crossing between Sheppey and the mainland will be shut so crews can carry out vital repairs from October the 25th to November the 3rd. Motorists are being urged to plan ahead. A skate park in Thanet that has the backing of artist Tracy Emming could get a funding boost. The project in Cliftonville already has a budget of more than £980,000, but that could be increased to £1.3 million. It'll be discussed by the council next week. Now, the first of its kind toilet is set to open at Margate Railway Station. Southeastern have installed what's called a changing places facility, which is designed to make rail travel easier and more accessible. It includes a height adjustable changing bench, hoist adjustable sink, shower, and additional space for wheelchairs and carers. Alicia Andrews is from Southeastern.
We've got involved in the first changing places on our network because we know that this is a really important facility and helps people who otherwise end up being stuck at home sometimes to get out and about on the railway. Our key goal as a railway is to allow people to travel. It's to allow us to recover as a railway and get more passengers and more people on board. And this is a great opportunity. There are more than 250,000 people across the UK who can benefit from toilets like this. We started with Margate because we wanted, as a pilot, to see how we would go about doing this. We knew there was an available space. We knew that this is a station that has a huge footfall, particularly in the summer, and that this gives people an opportunity for really important leisure travel. We really want to now take the lessons that we've learned here and look for opportunities to roll this out across our network, where we've got suitable spaces, in locations that we know have lots of footfall, and in places where we know the surrounding community doesn't offer this kind of facility.
Hundreds of apprentices are going to be graduating in Kent today. It's the sixth year it's taken place to recognise their achievements, similar to students who've gone to university and done a degree. MP Lauren Edwards will be among the key speakers at the ceremony at Rochester Cathedral. And a zip line's set to open at a water sports venue in Kent. Bosses at St Andrew's Lakes in Horling say it'll be up and running in the new year. Plans were first submitted in 2019 and approved 3 years later.
Kent Online Showbiz.
Ella Henderson's been chatting to our sister radio station KMFM about her new single. Filthy Rich is her first solo song in more than 2 years. She was on Breakfast with Gary and Chelsea earlier.
When I wrote this song, I think I just wanted to have a song that meant something. It wasn't about writing something necessarily for everyone else. It was about therapeutically writing something for me and what my values are right now in my life. And I think as you get a little bit older and a little bit wiser, just a little bit, you just realise that actually if everything was taken away from you tomorrow, like what's the things that truly matter to me most? And it is my family, my friends, obviously my partner and my dog. Like I don't know what I would do without the people that have really, really been there for me at my lowest points. And that's where the song was born out of. And it happened very, very quickly in the studio. I think maybe I've been chipping away so long on other people's projects that finally writing something that just feels so completely authentically me. And yeah, it has got a hint of country. This is the thing I grew up listening to a lot of soul music, a lot of reggae music and a lot of 80s music from my dad's side of things.
Oh, such a mix.
Yeah, like one of my favourite bands growing up. So I'm the biggest Stevie Nicks fan. I love Stevie Nicks and obviously. And I went to see her at Hyde Park. And I think that definitely spurred something in me to kind of be like, do you know what? Just seeing someone that's just a bit free around a microphone, but doing her own thing in her own little quirky way really, really excites me. And I think figuring out the sound for Filthy Rich for this record and the process of writing it, it just kind of brought me back to my roots as I was writing it and in a really healthy way.
And now with a roundup of everything going on in Kent this weekend, here's Sam Laurie.
The weekend is almost here and we've got some truly magical days out for you, starting with a wonderful wizarding event. Fans of the Harry Potter series are set to gather in Ashford's Victoria Park on Saturday for a Hogwarts-themed day of fun. It starts with a trail to find Professor Snape's missing potion ingredient, followed by hidden snitches and riddles from the Golden Egg. It's all completely free and, as you might have already guessed, fancy dress is very much encouraged. Now, another fantastic festival starts tomorrow and lasts for 2 whole weeks, with lots of live music, family theatre, stand-up comedy, guided walks and expert talks. Indie pop band The Feeling and comedian Rory Bremner are just a couple of the big names set to perform at this year's multi-arts festival, the Canterbury Festival. But the full programme is online if you want to see what else is going on. Speaking of comedians, funny man and all-round entertainer Brian Connolly is bringing his third farewell tour to the Churchill Theatre in Bromley tomorrow, so see if you can catch a last-minute ticket if you fancy going along. And for musical fans, dancers AJ and Curtis Pritchard are starring in Come What May, a celebration of Moulin Rouge and a host of other musical movies at the Orchard West Theatre in Dartford on Sunday. Speaking of musicals, there's still time to catch And Juliet, which is showing at the Marlow Theatre in Canterbury until Saturday night. The Jukebox musical is filled with pop hits from the likes of Britney and the Backstreet Boys, and it's a great night out. It's certainly not the Shakespeare you remember studying at school, put it that way. I was lucky enough to go along to opening night earlier this week, so if you want a flavour of what the show's all about, then you can find my review on What's on Kent Online. And finally, when And Juliet moves on to its next venue after the weekend, the absolutely incredible Warhorse will be coming to the Marlow. The wartime play is known for its amazing life-size puppets and emotional story, and it's a definite must-see for theatre fans. It opens on Tuesday and will be in town until Saturday the 2nd of November. That's just about it for today, but there's plenty more fantastic live shows and brilliant days out coming up next week.
Kent Online Sport.
Football, and Gillingham will be hoping to get their season back on track this weekend. They travel to take on Bradford City after three straight defeats. That's seen them drop to fifth in the League Two table. Here's manager Mark Bonner.
Firstly, I think it's a really good game to look forward to because they're going really well at the moment. I think last game was something like 17,000 or something there. So these are games that you should really relish as a player, because historical club, yes, but actually more importantly, big stadium, really good atmosphere. The pitch is in much better nick than the last time we'd have been there. It's certainly one to look forward to. A real good challenge for us off the back of a difficult couple of weeks against a team that have found very good form and have built a really good squad who will be there or thereabouts, I'm sure, throughout the season. So they've been one of the more direct teams in the league, but they can mix their game up. They're a really high-crossing team. They've obviously got a forward in Andy Cook, who's been brilliant in the box and got off to a great start in his goal scoring this season. And they've got some good experience in their team as well, some good size about them, good experience, good power. So I think it makes for a really good game. Very different, I think, to the last few that we've had. And I think actually in the next sort of week where we play three games, I think we'll probably see three quite different games, but this is one that we'll have to be really good in. We want to go and change the run of results that we're on, and we want to try and give a performance that gives a real good chance of doing that. I think some of your best days in football often come about in the bigger stadiums or bigger atmospheres, usually. So that's certainly something that we hope we can go and do. There's a couple of clubs that sort of big qualities and big crowds that will play throughout the year. This is one of the biggest, I think. Well, obviously we went and had a brilliant result at Notts County, again another club that's excellent stadium, big fan base, so certainly one that is to be relished and looked forward to. I certainly do. I know many of the players have played there and had that experience before, and hopefully we can go there and back up that Notts result, which was a really good one on the road. We want to try and do that again.
Kickoff tomorrow is at 3. You'll be able to follow the match action at Kent Online. Plus, we'll have reaction to the result in bulletins over on our sister radio station, KMFM, on Sunday morning. And England's cricketers have suffered a heavy defeat in the second test against Pakistan. They were bowled out for just 144 in their second innings after being set 297 for victory. Kent Zach Crawley could only manage 3 in his second go with the bat. That's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok and Threads. You can also get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, you just need to head to kentonline.co.uk. Whilst you're on the site today, don't forget to check out the latest review from our secret drinker. We hope you have a fantastic weekend and we'll be back with the podcast on Monday.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.